Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
Okay, if you are implying that I maybe went to a New Kids on the Block concert, you may be correct.
It was a bunch of girls, gay guys, and you.
Overall, I'd give the night a C. I'll give it a C.
Okay. I mean, it's not like the rest of your life is a blazing A.
Harrison Ford wasn't the first actor considered for the role of Han Solo. Al Pacino.
Easy, Chewie. Todd's not here, actually. He's out of the country.
Where is he?
Out of the country.
He's in Guatemala. My mom is very concerned.
How good's his Spanish?
What's the opposite of muy bien? What's the opposite of muy
bueno?
Bien?
Bueno?
Welcome to episode 26 of Two Jews and a Gay. I'm your host, Brian Martinson, along with Jeremy Katz.
Hello!
And Spencer Yasmin.
How's it going?
Fantastic, Spencer. Jeremy, how are you doing?
I miss Spencer. It's been too long.
I miss Brian.
Well, we're gonna fix
Does Brian
that,
miss
gentlemen,
anyone?
In...
Jesus.
Not at all.
I get enough of both of you as is, but I am actually looking forward to seeing a little Spencer, or a lot of Spencer, in September.
We need a lot of avocado.
Vegas trip.
Great shape. Phenomenal shape.
With cilantro.
No cilantro, just avocado, straight up.
I will say what's great about Brian is that Spencer, he's the most comparable to you when it comes to his love of milkshakes. Like, no one likes a milkshake more than Spencer Yasmin, but right below him is Brian Martinson.
I feel like that happened 2 years ago in Vegas. Like, he didn't really start drinking milkshakes till I kind of showed him my
infatuation. Oh, please. I've been drinking milkshakes since literally before you were born.
That is
true.
There's
a certain type of milkshake I agree you've been drinking, but not the milkshakes I like I'm talking about.
If you're not a big fan of Dairy Queen Blizzards, then we're going to have some problems.
I love the Peanut Parfait Buster.
You mean the Peanut Buster
exactly.
Parfait.
Oh!
Come on.
Exactly.
Rookie mistake. So since we last got together, I had the distinct honor and genuine pleasure to attend my very first gay wedding.
First?
Well, they wasted no time, did they?
They wasted no time. Two of my good friends got married not this past Saturday, but two Saturdays ago in a very lovely ceremony. A very odd ceremony insofar as there are two really non-religious people who got married in a United Methodist church by a Jewish guy with the last name Katz. Not to be confused with either Jeremy or Eric.
Brian, was it your job to hold the door outside as the police were trying to raid it to stop it from happening?
This is in California. Sky is the limit in California when it comes to gay marriage.
Okay, just check out.
A year ago, though, they raided gay weddings all the time.
they
Brian,
really
you
did.
Do not it let was... those cops in the door. Do not let them in.
It was a fabulous SWAT team.
Well, Brian, speaking of fabulous, so, I mean, how outrageous was this wedding?
That's the thing. It's actually very heartwarming for me. This was not a over-the-top gay wedding. This was a very respected and respectful and unusually sedate wedding.
Really?
It was, you could really not have planned it any more like a straight wedding if you tried. It was just a really nice celebration of two people in love, and I'm all for that.
And why did you prefer that?
Because I think that we, and this kind of follows along my big rant against gay pride weekends, I think we are better as a society when we have more things that are alike than more things that are different. And to take something like marriage and to try to make it over the top and really super fabulous, to me, isn't a celebration of the kind of celebration that I want to be a part of. I'm much more in favor of a marriage between two men or two women being very similar to that kind of marriage that you would see between a man and a woman, or what Spencer and Corey are going to do.
Sounds like a Hallmark card in the making.
It really does.
So it was, but it was a very nice ceremony and a very nice reception. They held it at their house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to be perfectly honest, I was initially very concerned about this wedding because they sent out what at the time I wasn't quite sure was the invitation or just a save the date, but they sent out what just turned out to be a save the date in an Evite form.
Ugh.
And I was like,
interesting.
Cheapos.
No. If, like, Spencer, I think you would get really ridiculed by family and friends in Dallas if you sent out your save the dates on an Evite, or even, God forbid, you sent out your invitations on an Evite.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
would Corey's parents say, Spencer?
I don't think it would go over well. I think it's kind of, what was that?
So what would Corey's parents say if you guys did that?
They would they'd give the slit of the throat gesture to me. I mean, you know.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean,
yeah, you can't.
And
you
the
can't
other larger issue is who's still using Evites?
That is true.
But thankfully, they redeemed themselves by sending out genuine, actual invitations on stationery, addressed to me and a guest. And so I got my nice plus one.
There you go.
Spencer. It was a very nicely set up wedding. I was really happy to be a part of the celebration of love, like I said. So I was really quite moved by the whole experience.
Now, gay marriage just passed in California, like, what, a month ago? Did they just plan the wedding?
No, so, you know, the Supreme Court struck down Prop 8,
uh-huh,
in late June.
Okay.
So they were planning this as being either a marriage or a commitment ceremony where at the end of it, essentially, they would sign domestic partnership forms, and that would be what they were. They'd be domestic partners in California. But thankfully, Prop 8 was overturned, and DOMA was struck down. So this turned out to be a really nice celebration for equality. So yay gays.
And Spencer, they only need 4 weeks. You need a year for some reason.
I need every day of it. Taking our time, checking our T's, checking that list 3-4 times.
And they had a nice open bar too.
It wasn't
a full bar, but it was a nice open bar.
And how was the apparel there? Was there any like outrageous outfits, outrageous suits?
No, everyone dressed. It warmed my heart to see how much people were respecting this institution, which I know a lot of people who are against gay marriage think that we
like
don't.
Like the police outside that you were holding back.
That's only if they're trying to get married in Dallas.
True. Well, you know, they just passed something in Dallas where they're trying to do away with abortion, so it wouldn't shock me. Texas.
Gotta love Texas. But I don't know how you could possibly segue from abortion to dirty talk, but we're going to try. So, Spencer, take it away.
All right, thank you, Brian. So this dirty talk's going to be a little different than the past, guys. As you know, Todd has, you know, he's gone on his own to Guatemala, and then he was supposed to go to Puerto Rico. We're still waiting for confirmation that he's made it to Puerto Rico. We've lost contact with him. Sorry, Mom.
Oh,
I know you'd like to listen to the podcast. Don't worry. We're on it. We're on the trail. But we've come upon some of Todd's diaries. So I wanted to read to you guys his diaries so, you know, maybe we can gain some clues as to where Todd is currently on his voyage from Guatemala to Puerto Rico.
Now, are we concerned about Todd's whereabouts?
Absolutely.
So should we, so Jeremy and I meet you in Dallas, and are we flying down to the Dominican?
I feel like we can wait till, you know, we go to Vegas in September. I mean, he should be back by then, but if he's not, then we can really evaluate if we have some concerns.
Okay. Good?
Spencer, are we concerned that Todd has a diary?
That's a good point. I didn't think of this, you know. I'm looking at all this diary material. I don't know how I got it, but it is a little disturbing that he has a diary that he likes to write in. But let's see what he
– Have the kidnappers sent you pages of his diary?
They haven't. Came in the mail. There was you know, there was initially some letter saying, please send $100. I thought it was Todd, but maybe it was a kidnapper. And I'm going to be honest.
Well, what kind of kidnapper only values Todd at
$100? I'm going to say some of these kidnappers. If you listen to the podcast, I'm not paying $100 for that guy. Come on now.
He's a value at twice the price.
Yeah, maybe half. So here's what the diary says. Cue the music, Derek. Thank you. First week was cool. I was in this little town called Antigua, which is like the cultural center of the country. Second week was a little rough. Went to the lake, but found out the water is contaminated. And overall, the villages weren't as nice as the first village was. As the first village was, hippie central, with almost no infrastructure. Oh, Todd, this sounds terrible. Then we moved to a bigger village, but it was very third world. Right now, I'm back in the original town at a coffee shop, trying to find a cute Guatemalan to go dancing with tonight. No luck so far. Oh. What do you guys thought so far?
Oh, God.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I don't know what Amy's talking about. That reading was spot on.
Great job, Spencer. Great job.
Thank you.
I didn't realize Todd's been—he's been gone for so long. I thought he's only been gone for like a couple days.
No, 2 weeks and counted. I'm very worried.
Oh man! So the water's contaminated?
That's what it claims. I mean, all I have is to rely on this thing. Yes, the water. It's something about water's contaminated, have not been able to drink. It's been hard for him to find drinking water, apparently.
Oh, God.
I mean, really, you should be down there, because if you could at least drink the contaminated water, you would at least have a really good
ship. That's true. That is true. Something I've thought about many times. Should I stop getting these Britos, you know?
I just want to know where Todd is going to find this cute Guatemalan girl.
Well, if he drinks the water, it's going to have to be in the toilet.
So, as I continue, Todd writes, the image is very much like Batman Begins, except Ra's al Ghul did not find me. The hotels were bad.
God.
Food was limited. Only a few places I could get safe water. People in Antigua are pretty friendly to Americans, but not so much in the villages by the lake. Again, this lake. What is this lake he talks about?
Is it mean the ocean?
It seems like the cabin fever type, you know? The villages by the lake.
Oh, Todd.
Todd goes on to write, my friend asked me if I was being harassed or was any of our other friends being taken. And Todd says in response to this friend, almost. When we first got there, this little kid told us he would help us find the hotel. But he was pointing in the opposite direction we thought the hotel was at. So one of the girls I was with said she would go with him and see. So they walked around the corner. 4 minutes later, we didn't see her, and she wasn't back.
Oh, God.
I don't know why we're laughing about this, but yes.
I don't know either.
I think he actually used the phrase taken.
Taken, yes. So I went looking for her and couldn't find her anywhere. But finally, she came back. Our hotel really was where the kids said it was, down this little alleyway in the middle of some trees. Those crazy little kids.
Did he tip?
Well, it's funny you asked that. Todd writes, referencing the kid, he wasn't nice. He did it for the money. And after I paid him, he didn't say thank you. And he just wanted more. Todd then comments about going to the bathroom, being able to go to the bathroom. It's been spotty. Went today for the first time since leaving going to the lake. That's another thing. The toilet water at the lake was brown. Not that it matters, I guess, but it just feels disgusting. And ... And that's the last he wrote.
That's it?
That's all I got from
him. He actually wrote ...
He actually wrote ...
He ended it on shit water. Interesting.
Shit water.
I think he's just doing that to fuck with you.
Did you ask him about his bowel movements, or did he just mention that?
Wait, you guys are forgetting. This was not written to me. These were diaries that someone or somehow got sent to me. This was not a conversation with him.
Hopefully, we'll find out more information next week, and the diary will keep on going, as opposed to him just, you know, running out of ink. And
Spencer, do you want to open a missing report right now?
Nah, we'll give him a month. But
I'm heartened by the fact that he had friends that he was talking to there.
Yeah,
but I think it was,
and he seemed to have met a woman.
Singular.
So he went there with some friends, but apparently,
oh, okay,
almost got taken by a little boy. And mm-hmm. I think he was.
But he met a girl. Like, that's great. His pickup lines work.
No, he didn't meet a girl. He went to a coffee shop.
In the diary, he said that there was a girl that, like, took the boy, right?
That was his.
Well, she ditched him in the alleyway.
That was his friend that almost got taken. He's going to Puerto Rico by himself, actually. So hopefully when he goes to Puerto Rico, if he's still alive and not taken for that matter, but we'll wait a month and see if that happens. But hopefully, if he does go to Puerto Rico in one piece, he'll go to a nice coffee shop and meet the girl of his dreams.
Can't wait to hear
about
it.
I think at this point, the best you can hope for is that he has both kidneys.
Taristas.
It irritates me. It upsets me. Seriously, Spencer, go fuck yourself. My voice sounded like shit. Never before have I been so irritated with two people. Don't screw me like that. What's up with your fucking friend about my voice?
Would you all shut the fuck up?
I don't care. You guys made your bed.
Don't let it happen again. Or else you might be part of the weekly rant.
Aaron's America, a slow descent into a pointless war.
So, last week, Aaron does his State of America address, which, of course, is no surprise to anybody, just fucking appalls me. The idea that these neocons, these chicken hawks, who wouldn't know the business end of an M16 if it bit him in the ass, are the ones who say that America needs to lead. Well, guess what, America? When anyone from that side of the political spectrum says that America needs to, quote-unquote, lead, what they really mean is they need to fucking put in some troops into a situation where we have no business starting another war. So, Aaron, I don't know what kind of endgame you think the government should have, but nobody wants to get troops into Syria except for John McCain, and he's a doddering old fool. So chill out a little bit. Don't try to, like, rush into wars that you have no understanding about, and just leave the actual foreign policy to people who know what the hell they're doing, and not a bunch of people who want to play soldier and make war and have no idea how to get themselves out of it.
If I wanted something this doughy and unsatisfying, I'd order in pizza.
So I'm a big fan of the coffee bean and tea leaf here in California, and it's a kind of a West Coast sort of thing, although they do have some places in New York now, yay. What's really pissed me off lately, though, is for some reason they've changed the chocolate chip twist. It's a reduced-fat chocolate chip twist. It's one of my staples. They've stopped making it correctly. It's like this chewy, unappetizing hunk of crap. Now, of course, I'm still ordering it because hope springs eternal, but come on, coffee bean, get together. Make it like you used to.
The Waffle House. Now opened in Jeremy's bedroom.
Okay, everyone knows I love Jeremy Katz. Good friend of mine, you know, one of the inspirations for the podcast, obviously. But fucking A, Jeremy, like, nothing irritates me more than when you and I are having a conversation with Spencer and you are the goddamn, you know, mediator in chief, and you flip and you flop, and the person who last gets your ear is the person who carries the day with you. You have the backbone of Jell-O. You need to kind of grow a spine. You need to grow a pair of balls. You need to shut the fuck up and pick a side.
Well, Brian, I can't be honest. I'm actually shocked to hear that from you. I feel like I always give you my opinion.
Although, if we hold up for 5 minutes, you will tell us that you're not shocked, and you completely agree.
Spencer, where is this coming from? Like, I'm legitimately.
Wow. This is awkward. You are kind of a flip-flopper.
I'm trying to be a good guy. You guys fight all the time. I'm trying to keep you guys happy.
We actually don't fight that much.
Yeah, but when it comes off as you being a pussy, to be perfectly blunt. You have no – and you know I love you, but Jeremy, come on. Like, everybody knows that when the going gets tough, you get going, and you will say anything to get out of any kind of awkward or antagonistic situation. And I've honestly known you for, what, like – 4 years now, and I don't think I've ever actually seen you legitimately upset.
Well, I'm sorry for being a nice guy. Jesus.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to know you for another 4 years, to be honest.
And now, a Two Jews and a Gay original production. 32 teams, one goal in mind, except for the Jaguars, to win
the Super Bowl.
And with that in mind, you need a reason to care about the other 31 teams. We'll give you the Vegas over-under wins line, the payout, and whether you should hold or be bold. Part 1. The Atlanta Falcons, over-under 10 wins. The New England Patriots, over-under 11.5 wins.
All right, boys. So first up, we have a team that, you know, really meant a lot to us last season. We had a bet that they'd make the Super Bowl. They didn't.
Not
the Atlanta Falcons.
I was kept out of it, but thank you.
That is true. You were. All right.
You were, and you were so desperate to get into that bet. Like, you were willing to mortgage the house to get
into because
that
I wanted
bet.
To hedge my bet. You guys didn't even listen to me. But go on, Jeremy.
All right. Speaking of the Falcons, Vegas has the line at 10 wins. Brian, are you taking the over or the under?
I'm actually leaning towards taking the over. I think the running game is going to be better this year. Matt Ryan is going to be good. They still have a lot of offensive threats in Julio Jones and Roddy White. I think you take the over.
I'm going to take the over as well. I'm looking at 11 wins, maybe hitting the 10 mark. The division's tough. It is a tough division. It's not going to be as easy as it was last year. Spencer, how do you feel?
I got them right at a push. I got them. I did the full review, my full analysis. I got them right at 10 wins, which is very tricky. Definitely a couple games I could see swinging either way. First week of the season, they play the Saints. I have them losing that game on the road. If they were somehow to pull that game off, first weekend of football is always very interesting because you have essentially months of preparation just for that first game. So if the Falcons can come out and steal that game on the road, I would feel very good about this. But I also feel like the Saints are going to be riled up with Sean Payton after missing a year of suspension. I just think they're going to be right at the 10. I don't feel good either way with this one.
All right, well, the consensus is the boys at Two Jews and a Gay say to take the over on the Atlanta Falcons.
Or the
next one we have you're a push.
You also have to say the payout, though. Then we have to make a recommendation.
Right. No, that's going to be done in the intro.
No, I don't think we need to.
No, but then we say, even though you say you take the over, the next thing is, do we advise making the bet?
Okay, that works. Okay, so Spencer says this thing that I'm going to say. Okay. Well, Spencer, Vegas actually thinks that you should take the under because they have the over at plus 140. So Vegas clearly thinks the under is more likely.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very sexy appeal that it is paying out. Plus 140, so that gives me something to consider that I am that close to going over with the because I'm at a push right now. But as of now, I'm still holding that I would probably not make this bet, but I would definitely give it some consideration when we get out there.
And Brian, since the under is minus 160, which is a horrible payout, again, Vegas clearly thinks the Falcons are going to have trouble winning 10 games. Does that change your opinion at all?
No, it really doesn't. I think the Falcons are going to be a good team this year. I think they're going to get in that 10 to 11 spot. Worst case, it's a push. I get my money back. I would make the bet.
Yep. So now he'll say New England Patriots. Okay. All right. Next up is a team that's had the spotlight on them all offseason, but for the wrong reasons. The New England Patriots. Vegas has at 11.5 wins. Spencer, over or under?
You know, every year when I go through the Patriots, I'm very realistic. As much as I hate them, I check off a lot of wins in the process. I went through it this year. I actually have them at 11-5. So
interesting.
11.5, I think, is a little high. I think their offense has been kind of rated a little bit from a talent perspective. I definitely know the system with Brady will put up great numbers. But I think this team is going to struggle inside the 20-yard line. I think they are going to produce a lot of field goals. They'll get their touchdowns, but I think they're not going to be as efficient in the red zone as they've been in years past with the absence of one tight end, but potentially two if Rob Gronkowski's not there. And let's not forget, they are not a consistent running team. I know they keep, you know, they feel high about, very on the high about Stephen Ridley and whatnot. They haven't proven it over a 16-game stretch. So right now I'm feeling like the under.
Brian, do you agree?
I'm taking the under on this.
Really?
Having said that, I still think they're going to win their division. Their division's it's a dumpster fire, and like there's no team in that division that I think could challenge them for actually winning it. But they're going to have a tough out of division schedule. From an offensive standpoint, they're not going to be as efficient as they were in years past. I think this is the first year you're going to see a little rust on the Patriots' body.
So for me, it's a little tighter, and I actually think that it will come down to not the New England Patriots, but actually the Miami Dolphins. If the Dolphins are good this year, the Patriots will not win 11.5 games. If the Dolphins are mediocre to bad, the Patriots will win at least 11.5 games. For that reason, I'm actually going to take the over. Again, boys, the division, the Jets, the Bills, and maybe the Dolphins, those are six wins that can come very easily. So, you know, they're halfway there already in the division.
But I will say this. You know, they got at Atlanta, at Cincinnati. They have the Saints coming to them. I mean, these games can go either way, but I think there's going to be some runs they're going to have in the schedule. And do we know if their defense is good? I mean, has their defense been good, above average in the past?
No, but they get takeaways.
Years?
What? They get takeaways, which is why they beat the bad teams. A guy like Tannehill will throw an interception that will cost them the game.
Right. No,
so,
I understand that. I just think they're going to be playing some high-octane offenses like the Saints, the Falcons.
True.
The Bengals' offense is going to be better. There's going to be – and they're playing Denver late in the season. It's at home, but – you know, Denver's shaping up to be a real threat, and I think they're going to spread them out. I mean, they're going to be some games. You're absolutely right. In the division, they could easily get 5 to 6 wins. But I'm curious to see how they do against the NFC South and some of their non-division games in the AFC, like the Steelers, for instance, they play, who always give them a hard time.
All right, boys, here is where it gets interesting, though. Vegas has the payout for taking the over at 11.5 wins. So you're saying the Patriots are going to win 12 games. The payout is plus 160, which in Vegas is huge. I mean, that's a great payout. Spencer, does that change your opinion at all?
Like I said, I'm at 11 with them.
Plus 160, though.
What's that?
For plus 160, you might be worth bumping up.
It's something I'm going to definitely give a strong consideration, kind of like the Falcons bet. But I almost feel more comfortable taking the Falcons, even though I have them at push, than the Patriots right now. I think there's so many unknown about the Patriots, and just to assume that the Patriot way will persevere. I mean, you know, we keep saying, well, the division's easy, but maybe, you know, hey, the Dolphins might be a real contender in that division to really knock them over. And I don't know, if they get pushed around early against teams like Cincinnati and the Falcons, it might put them in a hole. So we'll see.
All right, boys, so in a little bit, we'll talk about the Battle of New York between the Giants and the Jets.
We have a special guest on the podcast this week, Matt Jacobs, a friend of Spencer's from Dallas. So welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Now, I understand that you actually had to go by Jacobs. Is that correct?
I mean, just whatever people call me.
Oh, come on.
What do people call you?
Well, there's a couple other Matts in Spencer and I's group of friends here in Dallas, so it's easy to go by last name.
So basically, there is a guy we call Matt, though, so is it safe to say that we have kind of put you on the back burner, I guess, unfortunately?
There's a Matt, there's an MF.
Yeah, so you're really just the third of the ranking.
It's Jacobs.
Well, also, I think it's a kind of uniquely straight guy thing to do to call people by their last name, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Further confirms Spencer's heterosexuality, much to Joel's disappointment.
If it was just Jacob, it wouldn't work out well. But because it's Jacobs, it's got a nice ring to it.
It's better than a lot of my other nicknames, so I'll take
it.
So how do you know Spencer?
Spencer and I have a lot of mutual friends, but I knew his girlfriend, now fiance, before he did.
There's a rumor out there that you were actually there for his first date.
Oh, that is a fact.
What were your initial thoughts when you saw him? Or did you know him before?
No, I didn't know who he was. I just knew Corey was going out with Spencer. I mean, nothing more. But I was laying there in bed with Julie and MF when Spencer walked in. I don't know what that was like for him.
When I walked in, I saw the three of them, and I thought Jacobs was going out with Julie, because it just seemed like here's this, always the tall guys always have the girl, and I was like surprised. I was like, what's going on? They just give me this like evil stare, the three of them. They just like stared me down. I was like, I'm sorry. Are we gonna dance or what? But there was no dancing.
Did were you back when were you still there when Corey got back from her date?
I was not.
Okay, so when was the first time that, what was, when you talked to Corey, did you get like a debriefing from her about how the date went? Was she pleased? Was there anything that she thought Spencer could have worked on?
I mean, she was pretty quiet about it first.
And does Corey normally known as someone who's quiet?
Definitely not quiet.
Can't shut her up.
I don't know. I'm not like, I'm not that close with her. I'm probably closer with Spencer now.
True. Very true.
Hey.
But Jacobs, to be fair, when I walked out with her, what was like the initial thing the three of you guys said? First word that came to each of your heads out loud. Go.
That's never going to work.
And you know what? It still might not.
That guy?
So one of the reasons we brought you on today is there's a new online dating site that we'd like you to talk about. It's called Grouper. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so Grouper is this app that you sign up on with two of your friends. That they're your wingmen, and you go, it sets you up on a group date. That's why it's called Grouper. So like there's girls signing up for this too, so a trio of them will be matched up with you. So the whole thing, it's like linking up through your Facebook, right? So it checks your pictures and your interests and things like that to match you up. So there's a person sitting there matching it up. It's kind of a ripoff, I think, but it makes for a fun night for sure.
Have you done a lot of these grouper dates, or have you only done like one?
Okay, I've just done one, so small sample size.
How did you decide, or does the app decide who the primary person you're meeting is?
So I think it's just up to whoever sets it up. So like, if I request the grouper, then they'll set it up with my profile to one of the girls, and then they just bring their friends along too. So like, I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot, but like the way I think about it is, part of the deal is like you pay $20 up front per person, and it includes a drink at the beginning of the night. And I was thinking, well, the type of person that's going to do this is going to be pretty adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you've got a lot of alcohol thrown in there, so I mean, how could that not be fun?
And for your first date, or for your grouper date, what were the quality of the women? Were you pleasantly surprised? Were you sadly disappointed?
Well, I didn't know what to expect. I went in with very low expectations, and
he came out with even lower.
My low expectations were met.
Oh.
That's damning praise, I suppose.
I mean, the thing is, like, I'm out with two of my friends just on a random night with some girls that are down to have fun and hang out. So I had a good time. But these girls, I don't know, it was kind of an interesting night because we decided that before going on this grouper, none of us had done this before, we decided that we needed to go to the bar beforehand and have a few drinks.
Smart move.
Just to kind of ease into the night.
Yes.
Absolutely. You got to have a little liquid
work
courage.
It.
Yeah, so we go to the bar, like, have a few drinks, take some shots. So we're, like, feeling okay now. All right, let's go talk to these girls. We go across the street to the restaurant, and they're not there yet. So we get some more drinks.
Let me guess, they were at the bar next to you guys, and they heard everything you guys were
probably
saying about these ugly chicks they were probably going to meet up with.
So, like, in the meantime, there's this other table of girls there. So my boys, like, go over there and start hitting on these girls. And around that same time, I started talking to the bartenders. I was paying for my drink. Turns out that our match was there. So I go over to this table. It was just one of the girls. And so that started off a little awkward because we were kind of split apart there talking with these other girls too. But She ended up being pretty cool and a lot of fun. Her friends showed up late. I mean, one of them was, like, as big as me, so she was out.
And,
so just for frame of reference, how big are you?
He's a huge bitch.
I'm 6'4", 220. She wasn't 6'4", but she – and she probably wasn't 220, but
– She was 260.
Above average.
Yeah, Matt, she probably gives the best blowjobs out of all those girls, though.
She probably does.
Because she's so eager.
Yeah. Anyway, and then the third girl showed up. She's still wearing scrubs. She came straight from work.
Ugh.
Oh, but she's a doctor.
Probably a nurse.
No, a nurse.
Oh, okay. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, what good are they?
Stop looking for my vein.
Oh, God.
So we immediately proceeded to get drunk. Really drunk.
Oh, is it good? I like it. I like it.
Did you guys have an exit strategy?
No. I mean, we didn't really need one. We were just going to drink until we couldn't drink anymore. Just like it's just like any other Thursday night, right?
Yeah. So how did it end?
Well, we went from we bar hopped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of ended
fat
up
girl.
What's that?
With the fat girl.
Yes, with the fat girl.
That's a huge bitch.
Well, because you know she could manhandle the bouncer.
Oh,
if she needed,
I can see
guys
going toe to toe. Like the guys are doing shots with the fat girl. Just like
we went to this one bar in Dallas. Spencer, you'll know it. It's called Concrete Cowboy.
Oh yeah.
I never like would normally
as douchey
go
as it gets.
But they have this shot wheel on the wall.
Uh-huh.
So we spun the shot wheel, and mm-hmm. It turns out that like that prize was taking a shot out of this girl's tits. So that was kind of fun.
I'm sorry, the big girls or just a girl?
Yeah, big huge tits.
Oh no, but not the girl that looks not the female glasses version of you.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, the female version of you. Okay.
Oh.
It was the other one. The one that I thought was more fun, but
That was your size. It was like looking in a mirror, right?
That was the fat girl. The fat girl and the big girl are the same girl.
Right. Let's thanks for clarifying. Sorry.
Sorry, I sound like a complete asshole right now.
Well, yeah, that's why we brought you on.
But I don't want you guys to compare me with Todd.
No, of course not.
Don't even say that.
So are any of these girls people you would call for an actual date?
This one girl, one of the girls, the first girl that I met, I might have called her again to hang out with her again, but she was moving out of town, which was kind of strange.
Maybe she was literally just looking for a little fun before she took off.
Exactly. So, like, on our grouper, we went by her going away party.
That's kind of cool.
Weird.
That's cool.
It's kind of weird, though. Like, it's her going away party, but she scheduled a grouper before it?
Well, her friend was the match. See, this whole thing is like, I don't know. There's a lot of things here. I don't know if I like it that much because I feel like it's just an excuse to get together with two of your friends and go out and like have a set thing. But while I was on it, I was thinking it might be better just to go out with those same two friends and have a night set aside for us to just go out and try and meet girls, because I think it would be just as fun doing it that way.
But how good are your wingmen?
They're all right. One of the guys is good. The other one,
speaking of your wingman though,
I'm 29. I got a lot of friends like Spencer that have taken the dive, like they're getting married.
Sorry, man.
Or are married.
The plunge.
You can always use me. I'm always a good wingman though, to be fair. Come on, I'm a good wingman. Give me some love.
They all say that too.
Oh son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
And they're all liars.
The problem is, though, I'm interested in your point of view because, like, me and Spencer have friends that, like, are cock blocks. So, like, I can see, like, bringing two guys to this and, like, you know, it's every man for himself. Like, if there's that one hot girl, everyone's going for it. Yeah.
No, because, like, I was thinking, you know, ours, there's clearly one girl that was more attractive and more fun than the other two. So we had to jockey around a little bit before my other friend backed off, let me work my game on her, you know.
Well, plus one of them's a fat chick.
So,
But Jacobs, I think we talked about this. What happens is if you guys don't work together, then by the end of the night, you're all screwed. Like, someone's got to take it for the team and say, I'm going to go for the second, the lesser girl, because otherwise the other girls are going to be annoyed at the end of the night when the one girl chooses one of the three. The other two are going to be shit out of luck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was no different than if you were doing it outside of a group or app. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But did you find, like, your friends were competing against you? Did you guys work, like, did you guys do a three-man weave, like, in basketball pretty well, or what?
Well, we did, like, a two-man weave, and we left our fat friend with the fat girl.
Oh, okay.
That's love.
That's love.
That's sweet of you guys.
So it worked out for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Let me tell you something. I was out, like, a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine from work, and he's our age too, Spencer. Mm-hmm. And we're like sitting there talking to these girls, and they're like, all of a sudden, like, you know, things are going kind of well, and all of a sudden he starts talking about his kid, and then they just took off.
Ugh.
But he's like married and has a kid. That's like all he knows how to talk about.
Yeah, I would never do that though. I talk about going to Costco on Sundays, going to Bed Bath Beyond. Yeah, exactly. I got much better material, okay?
So I saw the same girls the following night, oddly enough, and they're like, hey, where's your old friend?
No,
that's gonna be you, Spencer.
Stop it, you're being very hurtful right now.
He's got like 6 months left, come on.
All right,
I'm not going bald.
Actually, Spencer,
yet.
Yeah, I've been out with you before. You're a pretty good wingman.
Thank you. Just wait till the bachelor party, okay? Don't worry, we'll take care of you.
We'll take care of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's Corey's cool. First episode is going to be listening to this one.
Oh,
whoops!
Baba! So speaking of the wedding and the bachelor party, etc., Jeremy needs to know, what's the female situation going to be like at the wedding? Are you optimistic? Should he be optimistic?
I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't know. I mean, out of Corey's friends, there's not... There probably are some single girls that are coming from random places from out of town that I don't even know about, or like some cousins maybe. She's got like a million cousins around town.
1 in 8 people are Feldmans in Dallas.
Well, you know what they say, single girls, out of town, random. You're speaking Jeremy's language right there.
I don't even know, like, who are the bridesmaids even?
She's gonna have probably like 10.
Oh man, so many.
You're gonna have 10. She's gonna have 10 bridesmaids. Roughly.
Spencer, you don't even have that many friends.
I don't.
How are you going
to
match that?
I'm going to have to have two. I'm going to have there's going to be two girls per guy. So, Jeremy, that increases your chances right there. I'm probably going to have like three
girls.
All
right, well,
to be fair.
Hey, let me tell you guys. Can I tell you guys about like this new app that I'm obsessed with the past couple weeks?
Let's hear it.
Is it Grindr?
No, it's called Tinder.
Oh, I've
heard of Grindr
that
before.
It, yeah.
Spencer was telling me about Grindr. He says he's used it before.
You shut your mouth.
Tell us about Tinder.
It's similar.
You shut your
mouth.
Tell
us about Tinder.
So, like, Tinder will – it's like a hot or not deal. Basically, I mean, it shows you a picture of a girl and her age and name, and you can either swipe if you like her or not. And if you match up, then you get to start talking to her and you can meet up. So – it's like extremely addicting. I recommend Jeremy. You there? Oh,
Jeremy.
I'm signing up right. I'm signing up right now.
Okay, he's back.
Oh, great. Yeah, you need to get on this. I mean, if you're a single guy, it's just a fun thing to do. Like, even if you would never go meet up with these girls, it's pretty entertaining just to.
Have you met up with any of them?
So yeah, I have actually.
Hey.
Last Thursday I met up with this chick and she was cool. I mean, not like anyone I'd probably see again. So
but did she have
when
friends?
I said goodbye to her, that what?
Does she have friends? Like, is there a potential avenue to continue on?
Maybe. I didn't actually get a real number because my phone was dead, so I still am talking to her through the app.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just ask her the number?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's just more appropriate texting through the app. Plus, it keeps me more at a distance because I'm not really that into her.
That's a good point.
Why are you afraid to love?
No, I mean, Brian, to be fair, it's a two-way street. Like, he doesn't want to disclose too much of his information if he's not really feeling her yet. He's actually
fair enough.
Playing this pretty smart, you know? I think guys
right,
often
very,
make the mistake. They make the mistake of, I got to get the number. Well, maybe you don't, actually. Maybe you don't.
Yeah,
look
I mean,
at Spencer giving advice. I like it.
Spencer,
still
I
got
like
it.
Your style.
I still got it.
Spencer.
Now, with that being said, guys, I have to run. Bed Bath & Beyond has a 20% off coupon sale. I need to go.
And on that note, Matt, or Jacobs, we do really appreciate you joining us this evening. And we wish you good luck on your addicting – what's the app called again?
Tinder.
Plug the app again. So we appreciate
I don't,
it.
I mean, I'm not selling it on anything. I don't really
no,
care.
We,
I just want Jeremy
we
to sign up.
We appreciate the plug.
Jeremy, sign up for Tinder tonight.
I'm going to do it for you, Jacobs. I'm going to do it for you.
And I'll leave with this. Guys, now that we know about this grouper, do you think it would be interesting to have the two Jews and a gay go on a grouper date together?
That,
yes.
Yeah, the girls.
That's a podcast
gay,
segment right there.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If we can all get in the same city at one point, maybe we can set this up when we go
to
Las
Vegas.
We set up a date for the three of us on Saturday night when we get out there.
Perfect. Done.
Cool.
Jacobs, thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
It's been great.
And now, a moment with Todd.
I'm not a huge, huge player, but I've had my share of girls.
Todd picks up a girl live.
Now, Todd, that you gave us a couple pickup lines, we thought it might be fun if you try a pickup line on an actual person, an actual friend of Jeremy's in L.A. So we're going to try to do something never done before in podcast history.
Here we go. One second. Here we go. You know, you look very familiar to me. Not a person that I know, but a famous person. I'm trying to think who it is. What celebrity do your friends say you look like?
Oh, honey, no. That's not working for me.
Is it over or what? Todd, keep going.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
She's talking.
What's all that noise? No, I didn't hear. I'm having a weird...
Oh.
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah. Kristen,
hey,
come on.
Real fast. Kristen, put your headphones on.
My headphones are on.
Okay, Kristen. Keep going, Kristen.
Is this not a guy voice?
No, it's Todd.
I'm just
that's
a very
so mean,
manly
Todd.
Female,
Jesus.
Todd. That's not the way to win me over.
Todd, that's so mean.
The New York Giants, over, under, 9 wins. The New York Jets, over, under, 6.5 wins.
All right, boys, so it's the Battle of the Big Apple. Let's start off with the more impressive team of recently.
Thank you.
The New York Giants.
What?
I'm sorry, Spencer. The Giants,
okay.
Not the Jets.
I accept.
So Vegas has the Giants at 9 wins. Brian, over or under?
This is really tough. The fact is somebody in that conference or in that division has to win this division, and it's probably going to be a team that gets to 10 wins. And of all the teams in the NFC East, why not the Giants? So I'm leaning slightly towards taking the over on that.
I'm with Spencer. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm with Brian. I think they're going to get 9 to 10 wins. I mean, you got to look at the history. And Spencer, you know, every time the Giants have a bad year in the last 4 or 5 years, they follow that up with a Super Bowl win or a very good playoff run. So they had a disappointing year last year. I think Manning is too good of a quarterback to let them not get in the playoffs. They have enough talent around him. I think you got to take the over.
Yeah, this might come as a surprise to you guys. I was kind of thinking they're going to be a so-so team, and then I like went
really?
Through the schedule, did a game-by-game thing. I came out to 12 to 13 wins for this team. I mean, here's what I know to be true. Victor Cruz is back. Hakeem Nicks is back. They're coming back healthy. You know, David Wilson kind of had a so-so year as the running back, you know, rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
This year he's going to be more of a feature back. Ahmed Bradshaw's not there. I think they're going to have a great year. I mean, I look at the schedule. I think the schedule really tells the story. If they can make it through that first quarter of the season, you know, 2-2, 3-1, I think they're in great shape. They're going to play the Cowboys right away. I had the Cowboys actually beating them in week one. Then they play Denver at home. If they can get that win, that's a huge win. If they can get that win at home, I think they're setting themselves up for a very successful year. They followed that up at Carolina, at Kansas City. I know we always hear, well, Carolina, Kansas City is going to be better. Let me take the Giants, a team that's done it on the road. The Giants are one of the best road teams in football in the past like 4 to 5 seasons. I mean, they go into anybody's house, i.e. New England Patriots last year during the regular season, and they win, or 2 years ago, and they win. I mean,
that's true.
Eli Manning knows how to win on the road. They struggle at home, and it's one of those rare things. But you know what? I look at their home schedule. They don't fear me. I even gave them some more home losses, I think, than I did road losses, just because I know they'll have a collapse here and there against the Seahawks at home or whatnot. I'd like the Giants this year to get that. Not, you said it's 9 wins or 10?
9 wins.
I think they're going to get their. I think they're going to get to at least 11, probably.
Well, Vegas has the over at even, so clearly Vegas thinks it's a toss-up. But audience, Two Jews and a Gay recommends you take the over on the New York Giants. Speaking of New York, Spencer, and this is Spencer's favorite team out there, is the, I'm sorry to say, the lowly New York Jets. Now, people will be surprised that Vegas actually has the line at 6.5 wins. Spencer, you're the diehard Jets fan. You'll get the first word. Do you take the over or the under on 6.5?
I don't recommend making this bet, to be honest. I know everyone's going to say, oh, okay, come on, they're going to be terrible. Here's the honest truth about the Jets. Offense is horrendous. They have not done one thing to improve the offense. They have taken receivers away, literally, from this team. They've done everything possible to make Sanchez fail. Sanchez is not a good quarterback, but they have definitely done him no favors. But here's the one thing I know about the Jets. As bad as they are, for some reason, they play hard on defense for Rex Ryan. Even last year when they were down out, they gave everything Houston Texans could handle on Monday Night Football. I think in many ways they kind of exposed the Houston Texans last year on Monday Night Football. Even though the Texans won that game, I think it set up the rest of the year that maybe the Texans aren't as good, because they should have killed the Jets, and they couldn't do it. It took a late score late in the game to win that game. I actually have the Jets right around 6 to 7 wins, but I don't feel comfortable taking the over by any means. But I wouldn't go the under. I think this line could end up going down to 5.5 by the time we get to Vegas. And if it went down to 5.5, I would strongly consider maybe taking the over, because so many people would be on the hate train of the New York Jets.
Brian, are you going to crush Spencer's dreams?
I'm not going to crush Spencer's dreams. I actually agree with him. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm struggling to get them more than 6 or 7 wins, but I can see 6 or 7 wins. And unless they just really completely go off the rails, I'm not comfortable taking the under, and I'm certainly not comfortable taking the over. This is definitely a bet that I'm skipping.
I agree with you guys. I think this is a New York Jets team that's not as bad as everyone's making them seem. I think, actually, things will go horrible when they go to Geno Smith. I like Mark Sanchez. I don't think he's as bad as people say he is. But, again, the New England Patriots are not going to be as dominant as they were in the past. So if the Jets can split a game with the Patriots, split with the Dolphins, and then try to sweep the Bills, you're there. But, again, at 6.5, audience, you cannot make this bet. Stay far, far away from it.
Completely agree.
Audience, stay tuned for next week where we discuss some more NFL football.
You know, episode of Two Jews and a Gay could be complete without a little Dirty Talk Hollywood. Jeremy, take it away.
Spencer, first headline.
Yes.
New Hollywood couple alert, boys.
Yes.
And
I'm on pins and needles.
It involves Spencer's favorite member of New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
Any guesses?
Joey.
Which
Mack?
Member? It's Brian.
The less talented Wahlberg.
That is correct. Donnie Wahlberg is no longer single. Donnie Wahlberg is dating former Playboy playmate Jenny McCarthy.
Oh,
really?
Way to go, Donnie.
Yeah, high five, Donnie.
Donnie Dub.
First of all, my view on her is she's dangerous. Her crusade against vaccines is just ill-conceived. Ooh. And puts children needlessly at risk.
But Spencer, more importantly, how does she look?
I mean, look, she's very plasticky at this point, but give her credit. She's held her ground. She's what, like 45 at this point? She got
Who isn't plastic?
She's got a gig. You know, she's going to be hosting that show. She dated Jim Carrey.
She's going to be on The View. Hosting that show.
Barbara Walters is gone. It's not really much of a show anymore, is it? Come on now.
It's got Whoopi Goldberg
still.
It's got
Whoopi. No, I just think she's a nut job. She's absolutely a nut job. But you know what? Let's talk about Donnie Wahlberg for a second. The guy has had a 30-year career, and he's still going. He was in a couple Saw movies. He's in that show Blue Balls or Blue Bloods, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he has done very well for himself. So give him credit. You know what? He knows he's the lesser talented Wahlberg, but he's making the most of his opportunity, and I respect that.
Amen.
Well, to wrap this up, Jenny McCarthy said recently in an interview, "Let's just say we visually give 50 Shades of Grey a run for its money. It gets steamy. I mean, like, really steamy."
How does that make Jim Carrey feel?
She's sticking it. Sticking it.
Sticking it.
All right.
While Donnie's sticking it.
All right, boys. Next headline. Comic-Con just happened, and one of the biggest news out of the annual convention was that in 2015, there will be a, Spencer, you're going to like this news, Superman Batman movie.
Woo, 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 woo.
Did anything move?
Definitely moved. A little to the left, nice. A little to the right.
Beautiful.
North.
It was announced that the sequel to Man of Steel will feature Superman and Batman squaring off against each other. Now, boys, does this excite you, or do you feel DC is rushing into an answer for Avengers?
I'll start with this one. You know, when I didn't know what to take of it when I first read it, but then I thought about more, and I know we're going to talk more about the wrap-up to the movies next week. I think it's actually a pretty smart move on their part. I saw Superman. I thought it was good, and then the more I think about it, I kind of had a lot of major problems with it. We'll dive into that more next week. I think there's been a lot of backlash, in a way, about the Superman movie. I know it's made a ton of money, but I think they're a little concerned that if they just throw out another Superman movie, it might not do as well the next go-around, because this one, it's kind of having mixed reviews, and I think they really have to stir it up, and I have no problem with them getting to what people want to see. I mean, that's the ultimate thing, is this going to drive people to the theater? I would say yes. Obviously, we got to wait and see what the whole Batman persona is like, but I think it's a good move in there. Don't waste time with another Superman story. Get to what people want to see.
Now, Brian, before you jump in, because I know you were a big fan of Man of Steel, do you think that this is almost kind of a fuck you to Superman? Because obviously they're saying, listen, in order for a sequel to, you know, to be good or big, it needs Batman in it.
No, I don't think it's a fuck you to Superman at all. I think this is a situation where DC and Warner Brothers have been racking their brains for over a decade trying to come up with a scenario that could get the Justice League assembled.
Almost embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing how little movement they made.
And when they see, like, all the energy about the Avengers and the Marvel universe and how that's coming together so completely, and they have arguably a stable of some of the best superheroes ever created, and they can't get them together, I think you could definitely see some anxiety on their end, and this is a natural step to get them to that Justice League universe.
Interesting. Now, Spencer, and since you are a big Batman fan, and especially when it comes to the Nolan movies, do you want to see Nolan's, you know, Batman in the form of, like, say, Joseph Gordon-Levitt or similar characters?
I can't imagine. I really can't imagine it's gonna be a whole different take on Batman. I just have to assume that's what they're gonna do. I think that's kind of the agreement they have with Nolan, that, like, they can't touch what he did. I would love to see.
Do you prefer it that way, though?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a realistic take on Batman, and it existed in a different universe, so you have to respect that. I kind of like the idea that they maybe are going the route of The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller graphic novel, you know, and I think that's totally fine to do a different take on Batman, because, I mean, Batman really is, it's really his brain. I mean, that's the whole thing with this premise of the Dark Knight. Is that the name of it, right? The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller novel?
Yeah, I think that's what it's
okay.
called.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller graphic novel, what they're kind of hinting at, what it might be based on, he really is intellectually on par with Superman. That's how he's able to kind of fight with him. I think it's an interesting take if they go that route. I don't think you actually do much of a Batman origin story in this. You just bring him in. But I'm curious to see if he's really going to be – it's all going to be about Batman versus Superman, or if it's going to be like foreshadowing, setting up the eventual Justice League movie. If you're going to – I bet there's going to be maybe a trickle of Batman in this where it's still like a Lex Luthor. I think that's the best way to do it. Have Batman in it, but don't make it all about Batman. Don't give it – make the fans want more to set up a Justice League movie.
I mean, me personally, I'm actually not that excited. I think that you have Batman and Superman square off in a Justice League movie. That's why you want to see a Justice League movie. I feel like if they really want to, you know, compete with Avengers and create a Justice League movie, then you introduce Aquaman, you introduce Flash, you introduce a secondary character.
Nobody
in
wants to see Aquaman.
I agree with Brian. They don't.
Nobody wants to see Aquaman. Like, Aquaman is useless unless you're by water.
Batman, there's a reason why people like Batman. He's not a superhero, right? I mean, he's a normal guy who has a ton of money, and you can picture him in the world that Nolan created. You can see him in a real life situation. Superman tried to go that route, the Man of Steel movie. It was successful on some levels, but you know, like we'll talk about later. The last hour, very very skeptical of the final hour of that movie. But I think they're doing the right thing. I think they got to make people interested, because there's no guarantee in Hollywood you can just have success after success after success. The thing about the Avengers that works, it's family friendly, okay? Mm-hmm. Superman is not family friendly. The new take that Zack Snyder is going with, it's not a very family – it's a very dark. The way it's shot, it's very gray, a lot of the film. So I think this is the right way to go. Is like, let's bring back a character that people love, but we're going to do it in a different spin. You know, he's going to be kind of – maybe he's going to be like a grumpier, older version of Batman. Who knows? But I think that's – if they're going the Frank Miller route, the graphic novel, that'd be cool.
I wonder, is Adam West still available?
All right, Warner Brothers, you heard it. You're getting our money. And yes, we'll see it in 3D. Boys, that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, it has been a very full and satisfying episode, at least for me. Spencer, any last thoughts before we wrap it up?
Can't wait for Kick-Ass 2.
Well, I will let you go through that on your own.
Thank you.
I am not anxious for Kick-Ass 2.
Never saw Kick-Ass 1.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I'm not seeing Kick-Ass 2. Jeremy, are you seeing Kick-Ass 2?
I am going to potentially see it on my grouper date, which I am registering for right now.
As am I.
Who's going to be your two wingmen?
Well, a gay and an engaged man. Odds are in my favor.
They're stacked in your favor. Stay tuned for subsequent episodes where we talk about our joint grouper date. I'm sure it will be. I'm sure hilarity will ensue. But in the meantime, for Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time. Well, but why is he speaking about all his friends in the third person?
Third person?
Like, you know, he's talking about himself and his friends, but he's always mentioning himself in the third person.
Well, that's just how Todd is. He's very proud of himself. All right, real fast, guys. Off the record, yes, I had a conversation with him, but you get what I was trying to do. It's a diary.
Yeah, I know.
I'll try next time to change words around more, but that's what's making it funny.
Yeah, of course. We're just dicking with you.
No, I know, but I'm saying I'm trying to. It's Todd being the Todd persona, right? We're trying to make it like, okay. Just making sure.
You can just edit that out. Edit that question out then.